Hey, it's a local spotlight show here at WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I am Chris Lorton. I'm your host and my guest today.
Tammy Flowers.
Love it. Yes, Tammy Flowers. Gosh, I've known you for a long time.
Yes, you have.
Yeah. And you're a friend of Jenna's.
Yes.
My daughter.
Yes.
And Tammy, you grew up here in Jerseyville?
Yep, born and raised.
Yeah.
Over on the east side.
On the east side. and you're a single mother.
I am.
And quite successful. How old is Bonnie?
She's 9.5 years old. And yeah. I haven't dropped her yet, so we're doing good.
9.5. What's that put her in, third grade or something?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, Mrs. Shively's class in Holy Ghost.
I got you. Is she enjoying school? She likes St. Francis?
Oh, she loves it. Yeah.
That'd be Holy Ghost,
right? Be Holy Ghost, but yeah, she likes it.
Okay.
Great. Yeah.
And you said that she actually, you were telling me before that she actually sought to turn to be Catholic like a couple years ago
as
a 7-year-old?
Yes. Yeah. It was her choice going through the classes and learning and the teachings. And actually, you know, we went to church, started going to church regular basis. So I was learning with her because I wanted to make sure that she was getting all of the fundamentals.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, she made that choice and we did that 2 Easters ago.
I'll be darned. Now, what do you think happened? Why did she want to do that? Go, you know, because you weren't Catholic per
no.
se. Right?
No, I was non-denominational.
Uh-huh. Why do you think that happened?
I think they've got a lot of good leadership and mentors there, and she felt it, and that's where she wanted to gravitate towards.
Okay.
And I'm one that if I see her put in the work, if I see her, you know, not just graze at something, but really want it and dedicated. This girl was going to the library and getting out, checking out multiple books about religion and things of that sort because she wanted to know everything. And yeah. So I knew it was a serious at her, even at her age, I knew it was a big deal.
Yeah.
So
now how is it being a single mother raising a child? Is it pretty difficult?
It's the scariest thing I've ever done, but at the same time, it's the most rewarding thing that I've ever been able to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which was something I was told at one point that I wouldn't ever be able to be a mom health-wise. So when she came into my life, like for 9 months, I didn't breathe until she was laying on my chest.
All right.
And then I was like, okay, she's here. I can breathe. And ever since then, it's just been me and mini me.
Now, do you think from the outside looking in and you see other families where there's a father and a mother raising children and then you by yourself, do you feel like maybe your relationship is even more special?
You know, for a while there, I had doubt, but it was actually my daughter that helped me fill that doubt because I had a teacher reach out to me and it was some type of project that they were doing that had to do with like all the fundamentals of parents and things like that. And she had everything to do with mom. And a classmate was like, no, you had to put dad there. And she was like, well, I am. That's my mom. My mom is my mom and my dad. And the teacher even said, she goes, it took everything I had not to break down and cry. Because she was like, she said it with full confidence of like, oh, I've got that. You know, she's doing all. And then from that moment on, it was okay, I am doing this. I'm not messing up too much. But I also have a great village. And just because she may not have a quote unquote father, she has wonderful father figures within our tribe that I'm very lucky that she has.
Yes, that's important for sure.
The father-daughter dance that they have at the Susnick Center every year, my stepdad takes her. He finds out what her outfit is, and then he makes sure that he matches. But even if he wasn't, there's 4 or 5 other, you know, uncles and things of that sort that will step up to the plate in a heartbeat.
Yes. Now, right out of high school, you told me you went into the military?
Yes. Yeah, I did one semester of Lewis and Clark, and I needed to get out. uh-huh. and you get away. And I joined the Marine Corps. I did the delay program and I signed up in May and I was scheduled to leave in September. September of 2001, we know what happened on the 11th. I left 8 days after that.
I'll be darned.
So I went in for adventure and free college.
Yeah.
And then like it changed, but I still got the adventure.
Yeah, you did.
And free college. So.
How was that, you know, going into the Marines, you know? You mean, you're a woman. Mm-hmm. You're going into Marines, you know? Pretty much mostly guys, you know? I don't know what the percentage of women are in the Marines.
Well, I can tell you this much. I was stationed at Air Station Iwakuni, Japan, which is mainland Japan. And the ratio to every one woman was 28 males. So.
Yeah. That's just, yeah.
Yeah. Basically, someone told me I couldn't. And so that's why I joined. It was one of those things.
Yeah.
They were like, no, you can't. I was like, really? Hold on a second.
Let me check that out.
Just gonna,
so, I don't have to prove you wrong.
Right. I will say this, though. I did wait. My mom had just become an over-road truck driver not about a year or so before that.
Yeah.
And I waited for my mom to come home on off the road to have that conversation with her.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that really, I don't know if it really would have mattered, but at the same time, you know, sometimes you want that blessing.
Mm-hmm.
I got that blessing from my mom and she was like, go for it. She could tell that I was just burned out here.
Yeah.
And I needed more. Yeah. And so I did.
Yeah. But why the Marines? Why not the Army or the Navy or
Because when choice? I went to the recruiters, they wouldn't even talk to me. And they kept telling me, oh, you need
recruiters.
To
I mean,
it's the Marine Corps recruiters.
Yeah.
They wouldn't even. Yeah.
They wouldn't talk to you.
No, I was a woman. They Again, I was like, really? I don't think we've met.
Yeah. So that's what it was. When they said, nah, really, go to another line.
Right.
We just soon not have you. Like, that made you go, huh, no, I'm coming.
And oh. It made me be like, I don't want the Air Force. I don't want the Army. The Navy, maybe. But I just, no, as soon as the fact that they acted that way, I was like, well, I'm going to prove you wrong. And I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it hard?
It was.
Yeah.
Especially given the fact it was after September 11th. A lot of things were changing in boot camp. But I would never trade it for anything. So I still to this day have women that I served with that we still talk. There's that. They call it the brotherhood, the sisterhood. Mm-hmm. I'm so grateful to still have that.
Yeah. So what's your advice to young women that are maybe... They go military. Why should they maybe give military a chance, especially the Marines?
Be ready to have a thick skin, but also be ready to stick up for yourself. And even if you don't know the job, even if you've never touched a weapon or touched something, you're gonna mess up. Uh-huh. But just know that you start out messy, and you keep doing it, and you're gonna get better at it. And I love that motto. Start out messy, and the more you do it, you're going to get, you know, you're going to shine up, you're going to do great. But just know that, you know, do your research, figure out which ones have the jobs that are best suited for you.
Hmm.
If you're not a good swimmer, don't go to the Navy. if you they all have great qualities. I will mess with all of the branches, and we all have things that we say to each other.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, if I see someone messing with an airman, I'm going to step up and be like, excuse me, you messing with my buddy here?
What kind of job were you after when you went into the Marines?
That is I wanted to actually be like infantry, uh-huh. something along those lines. At that time, women couldn't. So I was like, well, what can I do that's closest to it? And they said, military police.
Oh.
So I became a military police officer. I actually trained in Fort Linwood.
I see.
Yeah. So
now, since you've been out, have you ever had a job as a policeman?
I have not.
Okay.
It was suggested when
a
I came.
Woman.
It was suggested when I came home, but I know that they're different compared to the military and then civilian. So to me, I wanted to do something different.
Yeah. So you came home
yeah.
after you got out.
Yep.
You were in there for what? How many years?
I did 4 years.
4 years.
Yeah.
Came out. What happened when you came home?
Culture shock. Going. Hey,
one moment. Hey, if you're just joining us, I have Tammy Flowers in studio today. So Listen along to Tammy. Okay, so you came home.
You may have a warning. You may have to sign a waiver after you've listened to this. I came home. Yeah, it was definitely a culture shock. But again, that's where my family.
What was a culture shock? You lived here before. What was the shock?
Well, because I lived in Iwakuni, Japan, and then I went to Miramar, San Diego.
Oh.
And just the lifestyle was a lot faster. Uh-huh. You know, you work hard, you play hard. In the Marine Corps, that's that with times 10. And so coming home and going out with your friends, everyone was just a little more relaxed, I guess you could say, and partying and things of that sort compared to what I was used to.
Right.
And yeah, I can hear my sisters right now in my head and they're like, oh my God. So, but that's where family came in and kind of helped ground me, pin me down a little bit to make me see like reality, priorities, things of that sort.
I see.
So.
And then, so you got a job working at CNB when you got home?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little bit about a few years after that, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
What'd you do for them?
I was a teller.
Okay.
Started out part-time, and then I went full-time, learning more throughout the bank. Basically, I always looked at it as, like, the more I knew, the more, you know what I mean? They could put me in different areas, so even if it wasn't a teller, maybe receptionist, marketing, loans, all that stuff.
But you got tired of that?
A little bit, yeah.
And then what?
Well, I had my daughter, and then I went to the post office.
Yeah? What made you go to the post office?
All I was told that it was a great benefits, great hours, great money, great, all these things.
Yeah.
But they didn't tell you is that when you're a sub, you work 24/7 and you never see home.
Ooh.
And then COVID happened.
Yeah.
And then it was even worse. So.
Dang.
It was a lot of hard work, but I definitely remembered, you know, you got to have the grit. And I had learned that just growing up,
sure.
You know, you got the grit and then the military. So I was used to just being the, what do you need next? What can I do to help? I tried to be that person, even with my supervisors, wherever they put me at. Mm-hmm. And then I'm not going to lie, I would have still been with the post office, but my daughter came to me one morning and I had worked like, I don't know how many days in a row.
Uh-huh.
And she gave me her piggy bank. She's like, Mom, if I give you my piggy bank, will you stay home and play with me today?
Oh, that's sweet.
I put my 2 weeks notice in.
Is that right?
I didn't know what I was going to do. I put my 2 weeks notice in, and a gentleman from Principia College came into the Dow office that I was at. I was working mail, and he was talking about how they were looking for people to come to work there. And I was under the impression that you had to be of their, you know, their denomination to
right.
work there. And he was like, no, it's changed. So I filled out the information and submitted it. I actually knew someone that worked there, put her as a reference, and I had a job. By the time my 2 weeks notice was up, I had a job there.
And what'd you do there?
I was housekeeping.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved the students. I loved the people I worked with. Students from all around the world.
Right.
So when I know what it's like not to be home on Christmas. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So when you see students around that same age.
Yeah, you know what that felt like.
Yeah. And I kind of became like that mom to one a lot of them, even if they didn't ask for it, it was going to happen. And I was like, how you doing? No, seriously, like how, you know,
yeah.
Making that eye contact, checking them emotionally, things of that sort. Because I feel like some of them nowadays don't have that closeness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of things on the phone, you know,
yeah.
Electronics and that. And I'd actually have them take their earbuds out, you know, and have you talked to your mother? Have you? Did you remember? You know what I mean? Like things of that sort. And asking him about home, asking about, you know, like different things, wanting to understand their different cultures and that. And sometimes they thought I might come off judgmental, but I was like, no, no, no. Hot mess right here. I'm just full of curiosity. I've lived in different places, and I'm all about learning about those different cultures.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. So you worked there for a couple years?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah, and yeah.
A couple years, and then what?
I was at a dinner with some friends, and they were talking about college and all their different degrees that they had, and I was like, oh, yeah. I said, you know, I really wish I would have stuck with that, but it's too late now. Wrong answer. one of them within minutes had it figured out of different opportunities that I could do. And they were like, and we're going to help you. We're going to help you with your, because I kept on saying, well, I got my daughter, you know, I need someone to help me with her. You know, it's just me and her and the cat, you know?
Yeah.
It was almost like, you know, like a truce right then and there, you know, like, we're going to help you do this.
I'll be darned.
I love those ladies.
Great friends.
And
were they part of, where you work with as the maids or?
So the ones that I originally talked to, they were my soccer moms. I call them my soccer moms. We're the unhinged ones.
Yeah.
Soccer moms. Yeah.
Okay.
So Missy, Jesse, and Amy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
And Jesse was the one that had it figured out within not much. It was kind of scary just how fast she.
What'd she do? Get on her phone and start figuring it out or mm-hmm. what?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And because she's had a couple of degrees, her husband as well. And she was like, well, what is that you like? And for me, I didn't think I could do like 4 years. I needed something where I could start providing for Bonnie and I faster.
Yes.
So obviously, trades. You know, it's a 2-year program, and then you can build from there. So we started looking at Lewis and Clark, and you could either get the certificate or you get the associate's degree. And then I brought up my transcripts. I was able to do that. And talking to Kathy, who is the counselor at Lewis and Clark, wonderful woman. She definitely knows her stuff.
Okay.
She was able to figure out, she's like, well, you actually have quite a bit of your prereqs here. We can still accept them. It hasn't been too much time since last time you were here. Let's go ahead and go for the associates. And she's like, are you okay with that? And I was like, sure.
Yeah.
I mean, it's already there. You're going to take it and, you know, let's do it. So I had it all set up that August, and I began to put my 2 weeks notice in into Principia. I thought there might be.
What was the program?
Industrial electricity. Yeah. And they teach you residential, commercial, and industrial. Okay. I just finished my second semester.
So you just started this like a couple years ago.
Though. Yeah. Yeah. So last August was when I put my 2 weeks notice in, and then I went right into school.
Oh, wow.
So, and with the help of the veterans grant that Illinois has and a couple of others, I was able to do this along with some supplemental income.
You finished the program in.
No, I'll actually finish it later on because of the apprenticeship.
Oh, so tell us about the apprenticeship. You are on the move, sister.
Well, you know, an opportunity, things just kind of happen, and I would be introduced to individuals, and I would be curious, and yeah, so my professor, Jim Witt, he used to be an electric teacher here in Jerseyville, and he's also born and raised here in Jersey. Sorry, Jerseyville. He sent me a link to fill out for the apprenticeship with Boeing. And then I went through all of that, the interview and whatnot, and got it started.
So now you've got this apprenticeship that you're starting, and I'm sure you'll get paid decent.
You know?
Are you still going to Lewis and Clark, or are you done with that?
So I'll still be going to Lewis and Clark. This summer will be a 15-week apprenticeship, and then I'm going to do my online classes this fall.
Uh-huh.
And then that way I can get my in classes done next spring. So it's kind of been put on hold because we want to get Boeing taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
I was a little nervous. I thought my professors were like, whoa, you know, you need to get this done. And they were both like, no, get this handled. We'll be here. We got you. So like they're stuck with me until I get that associate's degree. So that's kind of like the mathematics of that. So,
What do you say to young people like yourself, okay, that as far as your thoughts on getting out of your comfort zone? This is something that you've had a livelihood of doing this, right?
Yeah,
So talk about that. Tell me why that's so important for people to get out of their comfort zone and go in a direction and not be, you know, just you got to do it.
Yeah, if you're not making yourself uncomfortable, if you're not trying new things, and I mean, I'm to the point, like the first time I ever did a live on the Tiki Talki or the book thing, I thought I was going to vomit and, you know, faint as, you know, while I'm hitting that record button, but it got easier. You know, you've got to make yourself uncomfortable. You've got to do the hard things, the unknown, because you're going to grow so much, and then that confidence grows, and then you're like, well, I did this. Well, that means I can do this. Well, this is harder. Well, that means I can do this. And, you know, and just kind of went from there. Like, I started doing these little lives, and then I would make reels.
So what are you doing? You're making money off this.
That's one of the side hustles, I guess you could call it.
Well, so what is a side hustle?
I sell, it's with a network marketing, and I sell makeup and skincare and things like that. But in that, you got to create content with social media. So that's how that kind of started. Okay. So creating content and things like that. But as far as when it comes to your life and making choices, if it's easy, if you're not uncomfortable, if you're not pushing yourself, then you're not growing. And I'm not telling you to, you know, burn yourself out every single day. No, but if it's something that you've not done before and you have mentors and that are willing to teach you, ask the questions. Show up 15 minutes early, be motivated, even if you don't know where you're going. Ask the questions, because I guarantee there's someone else around you who's wanting to ask the same question, but they're probably too afraid. And the funny thing is if you're a woman, ask those questions, because I guarantee a lot of those men around you in some of those occupations are wanting the same answers, and they just won't.
Here's the thing, too, what you're saying, you know, people love to answer questions, right? They love to tell you how to do something. They love sharing that info, ask away.
Find the right mentors. Like for me right now, Jim Witt, I would definitely consider him a great mentor. I've had him now in three different classes. There was never a dumb question by anybody. As long as you were showing up and you're trying, you may not be able to do it right the first time, but you keep showing up, and he's going to give you as much energy that you're giving. And I never seen or myself felt shamed or stupid or less than, you know, when it came to asking questions and growing. And there's things that I've done in the last two semesters I've never done before. Soldering? Oh. Note to self, don't take the gold with it. He was like, that's not going to work. And I had makeup on that night. And I was like, well, can I take some of the gold shimmer from my eye? He was like, no, it doesn't work like that. Oh, okay.
Oh, my.
But I tried, you know, and I showed up the next, it was two evenings later, we had another project, and I got right back into it. I asked a couple more questions, like the angle that you hold it and that. Mm-hmm. He came right over and showed. And then the thing is like, I'm looking and I look over and there's a bunch of others
watching
because they're wanting to learn too.
Yeah.
So.
But you're the only one that.
I was 43 and I was with a bunch of young bucks.
Right.
You know, some of them even button bucks. You know, some still got spots on their mom still got their dentist and doctor's appointments set up. You know, that's a button buck with spots. All right. He's not away from mama yet, but that's okay. He's trying.
Yeah.
So I definitely kind of felt like that older sister. We're not saying mom, but
yeah.
Even though they were young enough, I kind of saw that it's not the first time that I've asked questions or been in an environment with
You're not afraid, are you?
I don't have time for it.
Yeah. You don't have time to be afraid.
I don't have time for it. Yeah. I got a mini me watching me and doing her. I can't let her down. She can't see that fear.
She's watching every move you make.
Oh, she is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. We are about out of time.
Okay.
All right. But give your pitch why people might want to tune into you on your Facebook page or however you do it and advertise your cosmetics or whatever you sell.
Oh, gosh. I didn't even know we were going to talk about that.
How do they find you?
It's Tammy Flowers. Tammy with a Y. Flowers.
Tammy with a Y. Flowers.
Yeah. I'm on any of them. It's just my name with my face and five-fingered forehead. You can't miss it. I am a sarcastic, dark-humored, unhinged mom who takes the craziness of this world and just tries to find some joy in it. And at the same time, I'll teach you how to find your perfect lip liner and put mascara on without getting it all over the place.
Can you do anything with this?
I have that. You remember for Halloween? You looked like Elvis.
Oh, I nailed that. You did. I forgot about that. Yeah, you did. All right.
That was fun. Yeah.
Well, Tammy, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
And I'd like to have you again sometime.
Absolutely.
All right. Take care.
Take care.